Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to this week's Lake Life Weekend podcast. We are already in weekend 21 this year in 2017, and thanks for tuning in again. It's always a pleasure. I know our numbers are growing. We have more listeners. That's good. Please, please share if you like this podcast. Share it with your friends and Lake Life neighbors. We really hope to reach a popularity here. And yeah. It's fun for us right now. So we have lots of news this weekend, this week, and lots of events coming up. I did a mistake last week. I was early. I'm usually ahead of my times, but or ahead of myself. It's Memorial Day weekend this weekend. And of course, you knew that. I kind of knew it, but I was a little bit fast last week. So now season opener, cabin opener. Please drive to our website, lakelifeweekend.com, for the full stories that I will share with you right now. And also stay tuned. We will have Doug with us from Front 20 Outfitters. He is a fly fishing expert and tour guide in the area. And he has a little shop in downtown Perham where you can take classes to make your own flies. And he's also very active in the community centers in Park Rapids, Perham, and Fergus Falls, and gives fly fishing classes. A growing adventurous angler, angler time, fishing time, something new to the area, in fact. And stay tuned, he will share all the ins and outs and how to get a hold of him later here. So yeah. This week we had quite some news. Looking back a couple of weeks ago, we had the fishing opener here, and it was a real success, we say. We read lots of people came out in Park Rapids. We have really a good feedback, and the DNR also said it was a very good fishing opener, nice numbers, good catches. Read all about that on our website. And then one question we ran upon, and actually I in fact had the same one myself. Interesting read. Will there be another mice invasion this year? Due to a fairly warm winter and an early spring and all that, we may experience. And last year we already had a lot of mice. I had unfortunately quite a lot of mice in my garage, and I was surprised, and once I went to the store and mice traps were sold out. So yeah, I read up about that last fall, winter, and something to get protected this season. Read up on it on lakelifeweekend.com. There's a nice story about that too. And that here kind of did not surprise me, but it surprised me. Virgus Liquor Sunday hours announced. Well, I always thought it was quite surprising that we could not purchase any liquor beers on a Sunday, a long tradition here in Minnesota. Oh, can you hear that train? Yep, we are in Perham. Our shop, our recording studio is right located by the railroad tracks, and I think it's kind of a neat gimmick, but I hope it wasn't too dominant. Well, back to Minnesota Lake Liquor, Minnesota Liquor Hours. We now can year-round, 7 days a week, can purchase alcohol beverages in the stores. And Virgus Liquor Store has now, starting Sunday, July 1st, I'm sorry, the Virgus Minnesota Liquor Store will be open on Sundays. And the hours are set for 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. There was an article shared in the Frizzy Forum, so drive to our website to read the full article. Events. Memorial Day weekend events. American Legion Baseball is coming up May 24th, 7:30 p.m. till 9 p.m. at Washington Park in Detroit Lakes. The Detroit Lakes Angels versus the Moorhead Brewers. Oh, okay. If you are out from Moorhead, you want to maybe support your team and come to the American Legion Baseball game here in Detroit Lakes. That's kind of a nice event, I suppose. And you can go to the beach also right after. Memorial Day weekend bands downtown sound May 26th And Billy's Corner Bar and Grill in Virgis. Memorial Day weekend, Billy's Corner Bar and Grill will host the band Downtown Sound. So I think it starts at 7, 8, or 9. Please check our website for that. It doesn't show here right now. Chris Young at the Shooting Star Casino, May 26th, 8 p.m. till 9:30 in Menomen. If you check out for more details, Chris Young will be performing May 26th, country star, country artist, country music artist. And then we have a live music event at Ridgewood Winery on the 27th from 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. Music with Gordy Michael Bridgeford. That's a nice outing right before supper time. And then we have on the 27th on Lake Ida, we have a 5K, 10K, the fourth annual Whiskers 5K, 10K in support of military service will take place May 27th at the Lake Ida Road Course. $30 for the run, t-shirt, food, beverage, and prizes. You can drive to their Facebook page. You'll find a link on our website, lakelifeweekend.com too. And then on the 27th as well is the Minnesota Bass Fishing Opener. So before you head out on the water, make sure you have an up-to-date fishing license and are familiar with all limits and regulations. By the way, we have a road trip posted on our Lake Life Weekend page too. And we have access to a really nice road map sponsored by Jack Chivers Realty, and you may have had it in the mail. We got our hands on that. And if you want a map where I write about a little road trip sent to you, mailed to you, you can put it in your car, you can leave it at your cabin. Please email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And then also coming up until August 1st, we have a photo contest. So there's three different categories that you can snap a picture, and we will announce a winner every week for a $50 gift certificate for Spanky's Stone Hearth on beautiful Rose Lake. So drive to our website or actually follow us on Facebook, and there's all instructions, and then you will learn who was each week's photo contest winner too. So email us with questions, hello@lakelifeweekend.com. Check out our website. And now here, stay tuned for Doug from Front 20 Outdoors, fly fishing expert. Thank you. Yeah, welcome. I'm here this time, the first time in Perham in our new little recording studio. And I have with me Doug from Front 20 Outfitters. He is a fly fishing expert and a tour guide in the area. And yeah, welcome, Doug.
Thank you. Thanks for having me this afternoon.
Tell me a little bit about you. Are you from Perham originally?
Well, no, but we've lived in the area. My wife and family and I have lived here since 1979, I believe. So it's pretty much home now after almost 40 years.
You're a Minnesota native?
Yes, I'm from northern Minnesota originally, Deer River area.
Okay. And I have to share, I met you, I visited Perham a little bit more in the past half year, and I ran into you in the store that you and your wife operate here on Main Street, and I saw that you sell don't only sell fly fishing or flies and fly fishing equipment, but you make flies.
Yes,
and
we do.
You produce them and you do tours, and I was fascinated, and I think I want to talk about that because my first fishing exposure was always from my father talking about fly fishing, and he has been doing fly fishing when he was younger. He never showed me, but I will make him show me now. This I already talked to Doug, and I think we're going to have a fly fishing excursion this upcoming month. But yeah, so tell us a little bit more about your operations here in Perham at first.
Okay, a little background on that. My wife and I have been fly fishing for about 15 years, and we just it became a bigger part of our life, so to speak. And so we started our business, Front 20 Outfitters, offering guide trips. And about 6 years ago, we had an opportunity to open a fly shop here on Main Street in Perham. So we took that, and it's just growing every year as people find out about it, and there gets to be more and more interest. So we hope to be around for a while longer yet.
So you're operating already 6 years, and fly fishing, it's not that common in Minnesota, correct? Because you need a stream mostly.
Well, it's common in certain parts of Minnesota. You get in the southeast part of Minnesota, it's a lot of streams, a lot of trout fishing. So it's a far more common there. And on the North Shore, northeast Minnesota, there's a lot more streams and fly fishing there. Not real common in this part of the world. Actually, we're probably the only specialty fly shop in for 200 miles. You probably would find one in, you will find a few in the Twin Cities, and you'll find a few up in the Duluth, Superior area. So in western Minnesota, the Dakotas were it. There are the box stores sell some fly fishing stuff, but I'm just talking about stores that specialize in fly fishing. So we are kind of rare in that respect. And you know, people do come to our part of the world because of the lakes, and they come here to walleye fish, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And they don't even think about the fly fishing by any means. But we're starting to educate people, so to speak,
and grow
on all the fly fishing opportunities we have in this part of the world, and some very good ones.
Okay, now, and I, that's how much I know also about fishing here. It's always about the walleye, yeah? And it's a tricky catch, I guess, too. But you just mentioned, and maybe not everybody knows that, fly fishing is primarily for trout.
No.
Okay.
No. We primarily fish most of the summer for warm water species. And I'm talking about, you know, walleyes, smallmouth bass, largemouth bass, northern pike, sunfish, crappies, all of those things that are in our lakes and some of the rivers that we have around here. So, you know, that's our primary quarry. Most of my guide trips in the summer are for people that come here wanting to fish for smallmouth bass, which is a popular fly rod fish in its own respect. So, you know, we have some tremendous smallmouth fishing in this part of the world.
Okay.
And a lot of it's under the radar.
Uh-huh.
But people are starting to find out about it, and they're starting to travel here to fly fish for them.
Really?
And enjoy it. So,
Okay. So you have tourists coming for, is it, now we're talking a lot maybe about internet and things. Do people find you now? Is it an advantage that, are you exposing yourself on the internet to make those?
Oh, yeah. If you ask a lot of people to come and fish with us, and you know, some of them come quite a ways, they'll usually say they Googled it.
Yeah, they Googled it, yeah.
And when they Google fly fishing in this part of the world, there isn't a lot of it that pops up other than me. You know? So that is an advantage. But yeah, the internet's a big part of it. The other big part of it is, you know, we do a few shows, not a lot, but the big one in the Twin Cities, the Fly Fishing Expo, which is just strictly fly fishing.
Okay.
And it's one of the bigger ones, you know, in the Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Dakotas area. So it'll draw, you know, anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 people, and they're fly anglers.
Mm-hmm.
So we really get out in front of people there. You know, last year we did a show in Iowa. We did the Lake Expo show in Fargo.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to get out there and meet people and explain what you're doing as well. But the internet is big.
Yeah. And you also produce flies, like hooks.
Yeah.
So you have a little production, and a product that you offer, and a service, a guided tour.
Yeah. We pretty much cover everything. Because of the nature of where we're at, and a lot of people that we take out are new, we do a lot of education. So we do a lot of classes. Right now we're doing classes through area community ed classes, so through Perham, Park Rapids. There's one scheduled in Fergus Falls at the end of the month. So we do a lot of fly fishing classes there. We do fly tying all winter in the shop. People come in and just tie flies. If they've never done it, they learn. And so that's a big part of our business, is educating people. And we do some workshops in the summer too, shorter things that people, if they're limited on time, we do that. We do tie quite a bit of our own flies. I know, and a lot of that is we buy some, but we tie a lot of the ones we use here. And part of that's just kind of developed over the years. You know, from fishing, you kind of get the, come up with the patterns that work well for you in your area. So
which kind of fly?
Yep.
Colors, size,
you know, weight.
Weights.
So
tell us a little bit, like, I mean, if you have to do a lot of education, you're used to it. So first of all, you need special equipment. It's a different rod, and it's a different line,
yeah,
and it's a different hook. And then it's fairly complicated to get it. Like, there's a kind of like a cowboy swing. No, I don't know.
We don't like to say it's complicated.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
it's different, though.
It's different.
It's
yeah.
different. It's, you know, we, most of us, myself included, we grew up with spinning rods and bait casters, and you tie the lure on or the jig, and you have weight there, and it takes a line out with it, and fly fishing's a completely different concept, because the weight of the line itself is what you're casting, and the line just takes the fly with it. So, so it's kind of completely opposite. But I've taught a lot of people in the last 6 years or more, and I've never had anybody that couldn't do it.
Okay.
You know, I tell people it's a lifelong journey or experience. You never know everything. You're never as good as you want to be, you know, and you just keep working at it and you get better. It's like anything.
Mm-hmm.
So
not for me, but yeah. Okay, of course. Yeah, so you improve yourself with the practice. I mean, mm-hmm. practice makes a master, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the classes that you mentioned, is it or workshops, if I was to come with my little family, let's say my son and my father, how much would we get done in a day if we are unskilled? Is it a nice family outing, three generations, let's say?
It can be. I've taken whole families out, you know, they've never fly fished before. They just wanted to try it for the day. So, you know, you're not going to accomplish a lot in a day as far as being a master.
Yeah. But
we can get you so you can cast.
Okay.
You know, and the whole goal is to catch fish.
Yeah.
That's why you fish. And, you know, 99% of the time people catch fish.
On the first day?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So, fly fishing shouldn't be intimidating.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
that's
you
right.
You know, so people can do it. Are you going to be great at it after one day? No. You're not going to be great at anything after
no,
one day.
No.
You know, but it'll give you what the tools to continue your journey if you choose to do so.
Yeah.
And get better at it. So, I haven't ever had any problem with anybody really grasping it. I mean, there's some that are better at it, you know, that pick up on it a little faster. But, you know, everybody gets it eventually, so.
Okay. And before we speak maybe a little bit about areas where there's fly fishing opportunity for streams, but my son is 8. Is he gonna be able to try, or is there an age experience that you say, yeah, motoric, maybe he's not really able to move?
Well, you know, they gotta be big enough to handle the rod.
It's long?
They vary in lengths. You know, we'll say 9 foot is probably the average. They're shorter, they're longer, but you know, 9 foot. It isn't so much the age. I think it's just really all kids are different. Some have a little more of a longer attention span than some.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I've taken kids, you know, some of them pretty young, and they've done it, and they've caught fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't put an age.
It depends.
It really depends on the kid.
On the character.
How enthused they are about it. And,
yeah.
And that's fine. I didn't have a long attention span when I was 8 either. So, you go on the river and you fish, and they fish for half an hour, and they go play in the rocks for an hour. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
That's supposed to be fun.
So I can try to bring, okay. And then now we are in the Ottertail area, Becker Ottertail, let's say. I know we have the Ottertail River, we have Pelican River. Is there trout in any of those rivers in our counties?
Or
is
no.
Trout is in Bad Medicine area, right?
There's trout. We do have trout streams in this part of the world. There's the Strait River, which is a very well-known brown trout fishery, actually a wild fishery now. They don't stock it, so it's kind of unique for our area. There's the Clearwater River up by Bemidji. That is stocked. But they do get some natural reproduction. There's a number of small brook trout streams in the area. And if you're really interested, you can go on the DNR website and the management offices, fishery management offices. They usually have maps of most of them.
Oh, okay. So they map by fish species?
No, by the streams. And because they'll have easements on it, so you can get on there to fish on
okay.
a lot of them. And it'll show you where the easements are, which are public walkways
for towards the stream
that are along the stream, so you can access it.
Oh, I don't have to be on a boat. I'm walking alongside the stream. Ah.
But like I said, we, people do equate trout fishing with fly fishing, but I would guess that 90% of my fishing isn't for trout.
Yeah.
How many lakes we got around here?
Yeah.
We fly fish in the lakes all the time.
Okay.
So we don't need a river. You don't need a trout.
Yeah.
No, you just need some water.
Yeah.
And you can fly fish.
And how many tours do you do a year? Like how many people? Like is it once a week? You said you have a couple of classes now from Park Rapids, Perham to Fergus Falls. And then that's good. That's spring now.
Yeah.
And then when I assume summer vacation time, how many tours are you weekly? Are you booked? You said you booked. You're getting booked.
It varies. We probably do between 30 and 40 guide trips a summer.
In the summer.
Yeah.
So in 8 months, 6 months period.
Yeah, it's probably. We don't do a lot, because the season really doesn't open till the middle of May. So May's not. It's not much. But now June. We'll get busy July, August. September can be busy, and it's a very good month to be out there. Fall's a great time to be in our area.
Mm-hmm.
I get some through even to October.
Oh, that's only 5 months, 40. Like 5 months, 4 times 5, 20. So you have 2 tours on average a week.
Yeah. In the summer months.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to understand. So there is more fly fishers than one things. If you have two guided tours.
That's growing over the years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It grows a little bit every year as people find out about it and get interested in it. And there's a lot of people out there that have always wanted to try it.
Yeah.
Oh, I've always wanted to try fly fishing. And, we try to give them that opportunity to do so. And it just grows a little bit every year. So.
Yeah. And those classes that you mentioned, the community education, is that a couple of weeks?
I've been running it, it's 3 nights.
Yeah.
So it's like 3 weeks. So we do 1 night a week.
Yeah.
And we cover knots and rigging a rod and all the nuts and bolts of fly fishing.
Yeah.
So people have an understanding of it. We spend a night just casting. So they
indoors?
No, outdoors.
Ah, okay.
If we can. If we can't, then we'll try to find a gym or something.
Gym, yeah.
And then we spend a night tying a few flies. So they kind of get to see a little bit of everything with it. And then after that's done, then we go fishing for, you know, a few hours someplace so they can take what they've learned and put it
apply
in.
Apply it.
So that's all the part of the class.
Oh, yeah.
So, it, you know, and that's gotten more busier every year, too. You know, when I first started, I couldn't hardly get anybody to take it.
Yeah, how big is the group? I was just going to ask.
I only do 4 people
per
group. But this year, you know, we've got two or three going. So, you know, that's growing, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's good.
Yeah. And quite an area from Park. No, it's like the community is you're spread with reaching people. And I assume not, but like, do you need a special fishing license? No, you just need a standard fishing license.
Standard. Well, if you're going to fish for trout, you need a stamp, trout stamp.
Ah, it's kind of like a duck stamp.
Yep.
Okay.
So, you know, you want to know that.
Yeah.
But so otherwise, just, you know, if you're fishing on the lakes for other fish or on the rivers for other fish, you just need a regular license.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
And season, you said, it's seasonal, obviously. You mentioned, obviously there's ice usually through April, so we cannot really.
Well, you know, it is, but we do ice or fly fish in the winter.
On a stream?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, sure.
You know, my wife and I, Roxanne and I, we fly fished January, February, and March this year on the Otter Tail River.
Caught, oh, it was open.
And caught carp and buffalo fish on the fly rod.
Really?
Yeah,
a big carp?
It was fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, you can do it year-round. I mean, and most of our streams in Minnesota now, you know, like the state parks are open year-round in southeast Minnesota. And the rest of the streams are open, like, from the 1st of January till the middle of October. So there's no limit. You could fish year-round if you choose to do so.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about that, yeah.
So some days it's just better not. It's just better to stay inside.
Yeah, I know that problem, I guess. Yeah, we all know that problem. So, yeah, and people find you, your shop is a mixed, your wife, it's not just a fishing shop.
No.
You can bring your wife, and your wife is occupied with the other half of the shop, is that right?
Yeah, my wife and daughter, they have a P.S. I Love You boutique there, and our fly shop's in the back, and they have all kinds of things. They have 18 different vendors there that sell their products anywhere from, you know, knitted stuff to embroidered towels and cups and jewelry and palettes and paintings and it's just a little bit
store.
Of everything.
It's a crafty, yeah, like the complete.
A lot of it's homemade.
Homemade, okay.
Yeah.
And you're right on Main in Perham.
Right. 138 West Main, right next to Lakes Cafe.
Yeah.
So,
and you are there in particular on Fridays or something, right? You
well, that that varies.
Varies depending on,
you know,
how you book.
Depends
booked.
On how the fishing is and what's
and
going on.
And you have, what's your website? Where can people, I mean, they can Google you, Perham Fly Fishing,
yeah,
I guess?
Or front20outfitters.com.
That's where
we have a website.
And you have description, you talk about fly fishing, and then they can contact you.
You
do you have a schedule on there?
No, I do not. You know, the best thing is to email me if you're interested in, you know, a particular day or something, and we can communicate best that way. I'm a little, being older, I'm not into the smartphone thing yet, so I like email.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Good enough. No, it's good. They can definitely reach you.
Yeah. No, there is not a schedule set up there. I've tried doing that in the past, and it's just one more thing that I don't get kept up.
Yeah, no, unless you would have like an open class for people to come. Otherwise,
well, the classes are on there.
The classes in the
and
you need
are
to
in
sign
our
up.
Website.
You need to sign up. Prior.
Most of those classes through the community ed, you have to sign up through the school.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not even involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you just sign up through the school. If it's something that we're doing, then you can just call a shop, and you know Roxanne will take care of it.
Oh, in the winter, for example, like when you have
fly tying.
Fly tying, yeah.
The fly tying is open, and I publish that schedule on the website, And if you want a tie, you just come in, and it's free.
Okay.
Doesn't cost you anything. You can come in and see if it's something you want to do or don't want to do. And, you know, if it's something you want to do, you kind of get into it.
Yeah.
And if it's something you don't want to do, you don't come back.
Yeah, you don't come back. And you have a fly fishing story that, like, is there something special, or like, is there a huge catch that you made? Like, what was your best experience about fly fishing? How did you get into it 15 years ago? Who introduced it to you?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because I got introduced to it on the Strait River, and it was in the Strait River is known for its hex hatch, and that's when the fishermen and the fish come out. Or anglers, I should say. And so a friend of mine, he wanted me to try this fly fishing. I'd never fly fished before. And he said, I got a rod you can use, you know. And so him and I and another guy, actually, we went out there and we waded up the river. And he gave me the rod and he said, oh, this is all you got to do. Just back and forward, and you only got to cast 10 feet. Just let it drift down, pick it back up, and do that again. So that was my start, and so I just did that. Cast it out 10 feet, it drifted down, I picked it up, put it out there again. And lo and behold, it got dark and the bugs started coming off and the fish were kind of rising, and I caught like a 16-inch brown trout. So
on your first day?
Yeah. So
that's a big fish, yeah. A nice fish. Did you eat it?
I think we did.
I hope you did. Because they're good.
I don't know. Some people wouldn't like that.
to eat it?
Yeah.
In Germany, you're supposed to take them, at least eat them, because we always think they die anyways afterwards, but that's not true. You release them for the next catch, right?
There's a lot of catch and release in trout fishing.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's kind of the culture of that.
Well, then
for fly anglers.
Okay.
In certain areas.
Oh, okay.
In certain areas.
I'm a bad example again.
Well, I got nothing against keeping fish and eating them. I like fish.
Yeah. So that was 15 years ago, and on the first day you got passionate because you had a success catch,
you know.
And
well, you know, and then we just, you know, Roxanne kind of got interested in it because she fished too, but then I showed her, you know, and we just started going places. Like we went to the Grand Canyon and fly fished one winter. It was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're standing in this big canyon looking up and the water's gin clear and there's trout swimming at your feet. And, you know, you just, I don't know if it was so much the fly fishing or the fish or just some of the places you got to go.
Interesting.
And see, you know.
So it was a travel, you know, reason.
Yeah, and then we went, you know, started going out to Montana, and we kind of fell in love with that. And so it's just, you know, and pretty soon we realized, hey, we can catch fish around here with it too, you know. We don't have to go 500 miles or 1,000 miles. And so.
And then you brought it local. And
becomes addictive.
yeah, nice.
You know.
Infectious.
Yeah. That's kind of what it is. And pretty soon, you know, now that's all you do is fly fish.
Is that your main occupation?
It is for the most part now. I know a couple years ago, about 2 years ago, I quit my regular job and decided I was just going to focus on my business. And try to make that grow, and successful. And I pick up other work here and there and do other things as needed, especially in the winter when it's really slow.
Yeah.
But no, it's our main focus.
Huh. And your flies, the ones that you produce, you ship them nationwide. Do you have a little brands like the Front 20 Outfitters? Is that a
No, it's not? It's just pretty much what we use them here, and we sell them in the store.
Okay. So that's a smaller part of the business.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I'm not that good.
Oh.
It takes me too long. If I had to make a living flying or selling, tying and selling flies, I'd barely make minimum wage.
Oh, okay. So it's difficult.
Well, you need them for the store because people need them to buy.
Yeah.
You know, for their fishing, and I need them to fish yourself. With.
Well, you could order them, but
you
instead
could.
Of order, you like that engagement and the and making your own fly.
Yeah,
it's unique.
That's part of it, and part of it is, like I said earlier, you just kind of develop your own little twist of things that work in your area. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I tie flies that are been out there for a long time, but I have my own unique little twist to it that I add or subtract or,
and that
or
can
different
be color,
material. Colors, material. Different materials, you know, but it just works for me around here when I fish. So that's what I tie and that's what I use. So you kind of, you know, it's like your favorite rod. You kind of like using your own stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I see. No, I see. Of course. Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah.
So, well, I think if anyone wants to follow up and actually experience Front 20, and it's front20outfitters.com or Perham Fly Fishing, you're going to get a hold of Doug and you can email him or review his website, and maybe it's something that you want to try out. I will definitely try it out. My dad is coming from Germany, and Harry, him and I think we're going to surprise him with a three-generation outing. I like those kind of things. So we have to take a look at your schedule when we're done here, and thank you so much for coming. I will feedback on how my experience was with Doug. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com, and if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com, and you have a wonderful weekend ahead.